Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Owen Chemerinsky, the founding dean and distinguished professor of law at the University of California, Irvine School of Law, with a joint appointment in political science. Prior to joining UC Irvine, he taught law at Duke University and the University of Southern California. And his books include Interpreting the Constitution, Constitutional Law, Principles and Policies, Enhancing Government Federalism for the 21st Century. And his latest book is The Conservative Assault on the Constitution. He frequently argues cases before the highest courts, including the Supreme Court, and he had an op-ed in Monday's New York Times, Justice for Big Business. Welcome to Background Briefing, Owen Chemerinsky.
It's a pleasure to talk with you.
And there's been a lot of articles recently. Robert Reich wrote one, and Adam Liptak in the New York Times, suggesting that Chief Justice Roberts is the leading Republican strategist, if you will. He has a long view in the sense that he struck down the Voting Rights Act, which, like Citizens United, may well end up helping the Republicans in terms of suppressing Democratic votes. At the same time, he reached out to the growing demographics that the Republican Party is alienating, in this case, the LGBT community, with the other rulings. So that's the sort of description of that idea. And of course, they go back to Bush v. Gore and these other examples, like I mentioned, Citizens United. Is it that simple that we could simply have a politician as our Chief Justice?
Every justice is in part a politician, if you mean by that somebody who has a strategy for what they want to accomplish. Every justice has an ideology, a view of what the Constitution should mean. Every justice in any individual case is trying to get 5 votes to be on the winning side. And every justice is also mindful that they're creating precedents in law that's going to last into the future.
So I remember when Alito was being confirmed, I had a conversation with Cass Sunstein, who is now in the White House, and you know, his wife is now Samantha Power is now the UN ambassador, or will soon be the UN, U.S. ambassador to the UN. And I remember arguing that this guy sounds like yet another conservative, and that I don't understand why nobody questions a candidate's corporatism, and you certainly have in this article that you wrote in Monday's New York Times, and the notion that, to my mind, that the real issues, that the way that I see the conservatives on this court is that they always vote for corporations over consumers, management over labor, the rich over poor, powerful over weak, and just go through the whole lexicon. That seems to be the way it is. Is it that simple?
Yes. Now, I think amidst a flurry of decisions last week about voting rights and marriage equality and affirmative action, all of which were enormously important, there's a tendency to lose sight of a whole other set of cases that are about what you just described. These were the cases where the Supreme Court made it harder for employees to sue over sexual harassment and race discrimination. These were the cases where the Supreme Court made it harder for patients who were injured by generic drugs to sue the makers of those drugs. These are the cases where the courts made it harder for consumers and small businesses to be able to bring claims against big businesses, with the Supreme Court sending them to arbitrations that will never actually happen.
And the case that the American Express versus Italian Colors restaurant on the June 20th ruling that came down, it seems to me that, and as you point out in your article, there has been a long assault on the idea of class actions, and they finally put the nail in the coffin, if you will. And obviously, corporations like to get rid of class actions and they like arbitration because the agreements, the settlements, are much less than they would normally pay. And furthermore, aren't they sealed so that there's no justice for the injustice done to the consumer?
Well, everything you say is right, but it's easiest if we put it in concrete terms. That was a case of an antitrust claim against American Express. The argument was that American Express was leveraging its market power to impose fees on merchants twice as great as any other card. And American Express insisted that these merchants sign an agreement where they would go to arbitration, and it would be individual arbitration, not class arbitration, to prove an antitrust claim cost hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. The penalty, assuming the plaintiff could prove an antitrust violation, is $38,000. No company is going to spend millions of dollars when all they're going to get is $38,000. That's why you need a class action suit. Or there's a case a couple of years ago that involved consumers who were defrauded of $30.22, and the Supreme Court said they couldn't go to arbitration, they couldn't go to court, and they couldn't bring a class-wide arbitration. It had to be an individual arbitration. No one's going to go to arbitration for $30.22. We need class actions for situations like these where a large number of people each lose a small amount of money.
Well, of course, the court in its Ledbetter versus Goodyear tire decision, that surely should have woken us up to their priorities. And that was an outrageous ruling. And it finally the Congress overturned it. And President Obama signed the law, signed the Lilly Ledbetter law. Of course, that's when he had a majority. Now, it's almost impossible to get anything through the Congress. Again, going back to my argument with Cass Sunstein, where he basically thought Alito was going to be okay. Hey, my God, I mean, when are we going to have real debates in terms of confirmations with future appointees and really ask about corporatism? That's the one area that seems to be off the table in terms of discussions. And look at the consequences of the pro-corporatist Citizens United decision. And by the way, the polls out today indicate that the public are equally upset with the Supreme Court over getting rid of the Voting Rights Act.
First, it was obvious who Samuel Alito was and what he was going to be on the Supreme Court. I actually testified against Alito before the Senate Judiciary Committee. He had been a federal court of appeals judge for 15 years, and while on that court, he's everything that he's now been in his 7.5 years on the United States Supreme Court. He is just as conservative as Scalia and Thomas, and virtually always with them, certainly in all the important cases. Second, I think you're right that it's generally hard to engage people in procedural rulings or technical statutory rulings of the court. So the decisions last week about employment discrimination were about who's a supervisor, or do you have to prove what's called but-for causation? And yet in reality, what these decisions mean is employers are going to win a lot more employment discrimination cases. Victims of sexual harassment are going to find it much harder to win. But since it's about seemingly technical legal doctrines, much harder to engage people and get them to see how what the Supreme Court's done is dramatically favor big business.
So what is the answer to bring the people, the courtroom, the doors that are now closed to the average citizens? What's the answer to having them open up again? This Congress doesn't seem to be doing its job, and we know how gridlocked and dysfunctional it is. What's the answer here, just in the last minute?
Well, all of the decisions that we've talked about that are saving business are the Supreme Court interpreting federal statutes. Congress can change those statutes. This Congress isn't going to, but hopefully people can rally and elect a different Congress. In the longer term, we've got to elect presidents who will put progressives on the Supreme Court and the lower federal courts so we don't have decisions like these.
And, of course, this president can't even get people under the court below the Supreme Court, and we'll see what happens to the three judges, but that's an extraordinary case there, the Court of Appeals.
When President Bush's nominees were being filibustered, Republicans said they were going to eliminate the filibuster to get the nominees through, and the Democrats caved and backed down. Why aren't the Democrats saying the same thing with the Republicans filibustering President Obama's picks? The Democrats should simply say, we're going to do the nuclear option, eliminate the filibuster, unless you back down.
Well, Chairman Mischke, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with Erwin Chemerinsky, the founding dean and distinguished professor of law at the University of California, Irvine School of Law, with a joint appointment in political science. Prior to joining UC Irvine, he taught law at Duke University and the University of Southern California, and his latest book is The Conservative Assault on the Constitution, and he has an op-ed in Monday's New York Times, Justice for Big Business. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, and I'll be back again tomorrow on the 4th of July with a special 4th of July program at 5 p.m. Bye for now. A lady dressed in white with a man she loves, standing along the side of the pickup truck. A shot rang out in the night, just when everything seemed right. Another headline written down in America. The guy that lived next door in 305 took the kids to the park and disappeared by